morning. It is odd, isn't it, to listen to the average person tell these kinds of stories that otherwise would seem so unbelievable, but the lines are jammed. You could do this for days and days. You could do it for weeks on end. You could do a program that would be virtually nothing but ghost to ghost every single night of the week. Now, that means something. That means these experiences are widespread. It means that they're right across the population, right across all the demographics. Everybody, well, not everybody, but so many people have had one of these experiences. It's kind of like the number of people who have seen UFOs. That you have to, you know, this much proof demands a verdict. That might be another way to put it, don't you think? First time caller line, you're on the air.
Are you talking to me, Art?
I am.
Wonderful.
What is your first name?
This is Pat, and I'm calling from San Antonio, Texas, listening on the big blowtorch, WOAI.
Boy, it is, too. What a signal. Welcome.
Yeah. This happened to me, true story, many years ago now. It's not a ghost story. I'd say it's more of some kind of demonic story, but here's how it goes. I was at my grandmother's house. My mom and her are cooking in the kitchen, making some kind of dinner. And then they give me the scraps of the meal to take out to the dog. So I step out the door, go around to the dog. We had one of those big shepherd wolf dogs. Well, he starts growling at me. I mean, I played with this dog every day. Never, ever growled at me. Real gentle dog. But he's growling and barking, so I won't even go near him because he's acting real vicious. I put the food down, turn around, start to go back into the door. Something grabs my arm from behind.
Huh.
I turn around, and there's nothing there. My arm starts to burn. And there's something yanking on it. So I'm right in the doorway. I immediately grab the other side of the door and wrap my legs around it as this thing's trying to pull me, and I start screaming my lungs out. I mean, I can hardly breathe them, even when I think about this happening to me.
No, there you go. I mean, I always look for the right reaction from people, and if that happened to me, that's exactly what I'd be doing, screaming and squirming. That's it.
I mean, yeah. I'm screaming at the top of my lungs.
Sure.
So by this time, I'm up at the top of the door because it's pulling me up. So I've got my head inside the door, and my other arm and my other leg, I've got both my legs wrapped around the door jamb, and this thing's pulling me, and my arm is burning. And my mom comes out of the kitchen, and she looks at me, and she thinks I'm joking around or something because I'm up at the top of the door, and that's all she can see. And she goes to grab me and pull me off, and when she does that, we both get yanked out the doorway. And then she starts to realize that something's pulling on me, and what's happening?
Good Lord.
She wraps her arms around me, and she starts screaming, and my grandmother comes out. She thinks somebody's attacking us or something. So she comes running out of the kitchen with a big old butcher knife. I mean, the biggest knife she's got in the kitchen is practically a machete. And she comes out and sees what's happening. And by this time, we're going down the sidewalk. I mean, I'm up in
this
the air.
It's like a giant tug of war, huh? And you're in the air?
Exactly. I'm up in the air. I'd say my mom's by now got me by the legs, just with her arms wrapped around like my waist. And
you swear to me this is true.
This is the God's truth. I have nightmares about this even when I think about it.
All right.
In my lifetime, this probably happened 20-something years ago, and I've had all kinds of freaky things happen to me since. I've seen.
I know, but getting yanked up in the air.
This happened.
And so how in God's name did you get down?
Well, here comes my grandmother. She comes running out, and she's got this big old knife, and sees that there's nothing there, and I'm up in the air. And by this time, there's three big lines starting to appear on my arm. Look like long fingers.
Right.
They literally like something, I don't know, out of Alien. I've seen all kinds of movies. And it looks like just three long arms are from my wrist to my elbow. I've got these three long, big red marks happening down my arm.
Right.
With another one going down the backside.
You said it was hot.
It's burning it, and I can tell you, I can still feel it to this day. It was the most. If there's a word to feel demonic, I mean that's what I felt. It just felt like the most evilest, horriblest, just ill intent thing.
Got it.
Me.
And so, how did you get down?
Well, she comes running out, and she jumps in front, and she starts swinging the knife everywhere. I mean, she's just trying to swing it out in the air, and she's just attacking whatever it could be that's got me there. And she's making crosses, and yeah, but my grandmother then, she was probably 60, 70 years old, and we knew her in the family as kind of a a real religious woman, even though it might say a white witch or anything like that. She was from Spain. Just
so she knew it was something invisible and evil. And she
exactly.
Was got it.
And she started saying some words I couldn't even tell you to this day because I'm still busy. I'm screaming at the top of my lungs. There's people coming out. I mean, there's witnesses. There was plenty of people that saw what was happening. That, you know, you really can't describe what you're seeing.
So you think she had the right words?
And she said some things and was waving the knife around, kind of making crosses with it and all this other stuff, and it let me go, and I fell to the sidewalk. And I've had nightmares about that over the years, you know.
That is
a nightmare.
My
life. I mean,
yeah, that, well,
I mean, I've studied probably every, I've gotten to the point where when I do tell somebody about this, I ended by saying, you know, that's what started my search for the third dimension, because I'm going to find this thing and kill it or kick its ass or something, you know. But I know it exists. I know that there's something out there that...
Well, you know, you're a braver man than I for trying to chase it down, whatever in the hell it is. I don't think I'd be chasing after something like that. Can you imagine actually being held in the air by something that had burned your arm? Brother. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, this is Deborah. I'm up in the Gold Country in Northern California.
Hi, Deborah.
Hi. In 1988, I had been married about 8 years to a man. We lived in Hawaii, and he was just very charismatic. You know, he just had a lot of confidence, and I just trusted and believed in him 100%. Anyway, this affair came out, and I was very upset. I broke up with him.
On his part?
Yeah, on his part, with like one of my best friends.
Uh-huh.
And I was really upset, and I had gone to these like psychic fortune teller people. And while I was there, they said, you know, your husband, he's going to try to kill himself. And I got really panicked, and I just ran back to the house as quick as I could. And it was just a little, you know, tiny... house with the screen door, and when I came in the screen door, he was sitting in his chair, and I sat down on the couch, and I was talking to him. I said, are you going to try to kill yourself? And he said, well, I just about did, but then, you know, his friend had come over and taken the gun from him, and, you know, he'd written a suicide note and stuff, but he was so completely different. I mean,
now, was this after you had separated?
Yeah, we had had a fight, and I told him I was leaving, and I had been gone for the night, and then the next day I went to the fortune tellers.
Got it.
And so, but when I was talking to him, I said, I noticed that he didn't have like any energy. He was flat. I mean, I say he was like cardboard, like dry cardboard. It was like, it was so bizarre to see him like that. And he was just so dull. And I thought, this is the strangest thing about him. And in that instant, the screen door kind of like not blew open a lot, but just kind of shook open a little bit.
Are you sort of saying he wasn't there?
Yeah, and I found out later something. He explained something to me a little later, but yeah, it was like he really wasn't there anymore. And all of a sudden, the screen door shook, and he always would sit and watch TV, and the TV was on all the time. And anyway, the TV was on, but it was kind of turned down low, and all of a sudden, when the screen door shook, I could feel this force. It was like an electrical force that hit the TV set, and this was like in a small triangle of space, you know, maybe about 15 feet. All of a sudden, the TV was like, you know, going up and down where you couldn't see the picture, and it was all fuzzy and snowy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to listen to him. He was talking so quietly. But then all of a sudden, I'm like, what is going on with the TV, right?
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, the TV stopped, you know, shaking like that, the screen, and I felt something come in my body, and I was just like, whoa! I mean, my whole inside, almost as if I was choking from the inside, like, and it was like moving inside of me. I'm like, what is that? And I looked at him, I said, is that you? What the heck's going on, you know? And then he just, you know, scooted forward and said, give me your hands. And so he took both of my hands, and it was like some energy was running through my body. And it took, I guess, maybe about a minute. And then all of a sudden, I just felt exhausted. And he said, you know, I had closed myself off, you know, and I just opened myself up to you again. And because I guess he knew stuff I didn't really know. But then he was like, he was back to normal. And
so you think he took energy, life energy from you?
Well, what I think happened is, this is the thing that I finally got out of him. He was kind of a troubled youth, and he grew up in Oregon, Eugene, Oregon area. But one time he said he was walking in the woods as a young teenager, and this voice came to him and said, well, I will give you power if you want this power, and he accepted it. And I just think that he had allowed this dark power to kind of give him this confidence, because I found out later, I mean, so many big things he lied about. But but yeah, I think that the spirit left his body when he was thinking of killing himself.
Boy,
what I think happened, and then I think it actually was like in the tree outside the front door.
That is really odd. That's an odd one. All right. Thank you very much. Well, I actually can imagine that in an instant or instance before somebody would decide to commit suicide, they've already given up life, right? If they're really serious about it, then they have given up life. And it may well be that the spirit at some point just prior to the actual ending of the life really does leave the body. Maybe that's what she experienced. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, this is Rod. I'm calling from Hampton.
Yes, Rod.
I was telling you about the Yorktown Victory Center and the ghosts that pop up every once in a while there. And being a security guard out there,
I love security guards.
One night happened to have a certain circumstance where I had just finished going through the inside museum area and had glanced over and saw what I thought was George Washington. I glanced back again, I didn't see it. And a few moments later, I was outside going into the forest area out behind the camp. And all of a sudden, I started hearing this sound about 6 feet behind me.
Great.
And I took a few more steps, and I heard coming up behind me, about 6 feet behind me. I glanced up the hill. There were two glowing orange orbs. And I took a few more steps. I looked behind me. Nothing there. Took a few more steps. Sound is still following me. And I'm still seeing these orange-colored orbs up there on the hilltop, and I stopped, and I went back a few more steps, and I went forward, and I heard the sound again. So, being the curious type, I figured something may be following me, and
that was about 16 steps. By now, you should be sure.
Well, I was pretty sure something was behind me.
Yes.
Yeah, and I got to looking on the ground, and there was a feather, a turkey feather, out of one of the animals that had been there in the farm, and it was somehow hooked up to a spider web, and I had crossed over this spider web, and it hooked up to my leg, and that was dragging along behind me, making that sound. But I still had those orange orbs. Maybe a little bit of a fire, I thought, up on the hillside. So I got closer and closer to that. And they had set up a firing range for the black powder muskets. And they had been shooting that. And the two orange orbs that were showing there were a reflection of the light over there in the maintenance area.
So it was nothing.
So it was nothing.
It was nothing. So the whole thing was nothing.
Yeah, but it sure scared the dickens out of me.
Sarah, well, thank you. There is a story that wasn't. In other words, a perfectly appropriate explanation for everything that happened, sounds and lights combined. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, my name's Raven.
Yes.
Yeah, I have a friend named Gary, and he told me this story, so this is secondhand. But he has three friends, Steve and Vern and Kim. And his friend Vern had been depressed for a couple of years and had been talking about suicide. So, and he hadn't seen him for a while, so Vern said, can I come over? And he came over, and they hung out together.
Mm-hmm.
And then Vern drove away that night, and he didn't see him for a few days. And then he had this dream. And in the dream, this is my friend's name is Gary, and he hears, Gary! And he's like, who's that? Who's that? And he looks up in the window, and here's Vern. Vern's in the window, and he's going, Gary! And Gary's like, oh, wow, what's Vern doing in the window? And then Vern says, bury me. And Gary, at this point, freaks out, and he wakes up, you know.
I didn't quite get it. Was it bury me?
Bury me, yeah.
Bury me, oh.
You know, really scary voice.
Yeah.
And so he wakes up, and anyway, the next night he has the same dream. Gary! And at this point he's thinking, I don't want to look at the window. I don't want to look at the window, but he has to look at the window. You know how dreams are. And there's Vern, and Vern's like, Gary, bury me. And Gary wakes up, you know, and he's terrified. And this goes on for, a few months, and he's, you know, starting to lose sleep. He talks to his friend Steve, and Steve tells him, I've been having these dreams.
Oh, my God.
And by this time, Vern hasn't shown up. Vern's gone. He's just disappeared. And the police have been looking for him and stuff. And he says, yeah, I had this dream. And Vern came to me and said, Steve. And I look up, and he's in the windmill. And there's Vern. And he says,
bury me.
Bury me.
Let me jump to the conclusion. This friend of yours did commit suicide and was later found?
He did commit suicide. And then they talked to their third friend, Kim. And Kim was
all
like,
similar
God,
things.
I've been having the dreams,
got
too.
Got it. And so this friend actually did commit suicide. Did they finally find the body?
And in each dream, as the months went by, he looked more and more like ugly and decomposing, and after a while it was fungus all over his face and like slime and decay, and he just, you know, got more and more messed up, and you know, after I was like, bury me.
I got it. All right.
That was horrible. This is a true story. So finally the next door neighbor came home up to his vacation house next door to Gary's house and pulled into the driveway, and here was Vern's car. And he had a hose going from the exhaust pipe up into the cabin of the car.
And how much time had passed since he committed
suicide?
Oh, my God. So this decomposing guy was entering the dreams of his friends, begging to be buried. Well, they do tell these stories about suicide, don't they? You're on the air, Ghost to Ghost AM 05. Hi. Hello? Yes?
Yeah, okay, it's me.
It's you?
Yeah.
And your name is?
My name is Marilyn from Grafton.
Okay.
Ohio. And, I don't even hardly know where to begin.
At the beginning.
At the beginning. Okay, that would probably be when I was like 6 years old. I was walking to school, and at this red light, I stopped to cross the street, and I looked both ways. Nothing's coming. And I start across the street, and I was hit by this drunken funeral director, and he was driving a hearse. And the next thing I knew, I was, like, floating above my body. And I looked down, and I saw people in the group on the street there.
A typical NDE. All right, listen, hold on. We'll get right back to you, floating there above your body. It's a very common story, actually. Hit by a drunk, and at least for a time, dead. We'll get right back to it from the high desert in the middle of the night on Halloween. I'm Art Bell.